Well, hi everybody, I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. And we have a fun topic tonight, because here's the deal. I'm in, I think it was Missoula, and I'm shopping. And this guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, I think I follow you on TikTok or Instagram or something." And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, I know, I follow you." And his name's Josh Redhat. He's a native here in Montana. So I have never talked to a Native American in Montana yet on my show. And the best part is, I don't even know what we're going to talk about, because Josh and I just met, and he said, "You know, I've got some ideas, and it's not going to sit well with everybody." And I said, "Oh my gosh, you'll be perfect on my show, because my ideas don't fit perfectly with anybody." So we're going to talk to him in just a second, but our show is sponsored by Chris Dental Family Dentistry. Here over in Eugene, Oregon. They also do dentures there. And Dr. Bratlin loves conversation. He likes free speech and people to be able to speak their mind. And that's why he's one of our sponsors. We also have, my friend Greg Hinkle, right here in Montana in Helena. He's with Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. What he does is sells mortgages. He helps you invest your money in something like property and real estate. That's way better than the stock market right now. So Greg Hinkle, right here in Helena, Montana, again, Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. And then our other sponsor is BS Free MD. A couple of doctor friends of mine out of Oregon, they were very outspoken during the pandemic, and they believe in science and facts, not people's fear. And they do a podcast called BS, Bullshit Free MD. Get it? BS Free MD. So you can go on Spotify or any other your favorite podcast channel and find them on there. They tackle all kinds of topics from human interest. Most of it, though, is medical, and they're really, really good at what they do. All right, so let's just get right onto the show here. This is my friend Josh Redhat, and with a last name like Redhat, you got to be either Native American or one of those little old ladies in the purple that are the red hats that run around.
Well, let me explain the last name.
Okay.
That's not actually my name, but when I decided to put myself out there on the internet, my last name was not available for most of the websites. And at the time, I was wearing a lot of red. At least I was wearing like one clothing item that was very bright. That's kind of my style, you know. One thing that you gotta have, one thing that's really bright, and then everything's kind of less bright.
Right.
I had a bright red hat. And so I just said, "Hey, this is my Indian name. I'm giving myself an Indian name, Josh Redhat." And it was available on YouTube, Instagram, everything.
So can you tell me what your real last name is?
Oh, yes, it's Hooper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in the military, they just called me Hoop. So that's my other nickname.
So tell me your story, because you came up to me and you said you put yourself out on the internet. So what does that mean as a Native American in Montana? What's your message? What are you trying to get across to people?
I don't know how much you have looked on my accounts and stuff like that, but when I say I put myself out there, the reason is where to start. I was in the military. I joined the Marine Corps back in 2004. 2 years later, a year and a half later, I deployed to Iraq. 2 weeks after getting there, I developed a rash on my hand, and it just slowly grew while I was my 7 months there. And after I got back, it just continued to take over my body, eventually completely crashed my health. And I believe it's been about 5 years now, I haven't been able to work. I was an X-ray tech. When I got out of the military, I used the GI Bill and, you know, got some education, became an X-ray tech, worked a few jobs in Wyoming and Ohio, and this rash just continued to take over my body, and eventually I just crashed, and I couldn't work anymore due to just pain, like my skin just painful all over my body. And the reason why I want to speak out on this is because, you know, you've probably heard in Congress recently them talking about military toxic exposure.
Right.
And this is a big thing. And I mean, it's completely crashed my health. That's what I'm dealing with right now.
Is that where this came from? Is from your service?
Yes. Yes. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what specific.
Is that the hard part? Is that the hard part to prove it? Did people just think that, you know, you're trying to pull one over on them?
No, I think people usually understand that it's a real thing, that, you know, that a lot of military guys struggle with toxic exposure. The people who work with jets and stuff from breathing it in, a lot of times they live with rashes or they're come down with cancers. It's a very common thing. And when I was deployed, I was on a fueling mission. And so we would fill up these bags of fuel, 50,000 gallons.
Wow.
And every day my hands were immersed in this fuel from, you know, working with the couplers and the pumps and everything, breathing in the fumes. But also next to our fuel site, which it was probably, I don't know, 150 yards away, so it's not like it was super close, there was a site where there was always a fire burning. I don't know if you've heard about burn pits.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that happened in
And do toxic chemicals come, they think toxic chemicals come off of that, right?
Yes, and there was no regulations as to what could or could not be burned in those pits, from feces to plastics to anything. And, you know, that soot probably drifted over to us and we breathed it in. And so between the fuel, possibly vaccines, I don't know about that. We took some pretty harsh vaccines, anthrax and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and the burn pit. Between the three of those, I'm sick.
So what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? Because I know you and I were trying to figure out how we could get this done because you weren't feeling well the other day. But how does this impact you physically then?
So there's the rash, and that's been better and worse at times. It's been so bad that for like 3 years, I couldn't really do anything at all other than just kind of be in pain all day long, sitting in a chair, just trying to not be in pain, you know?
Right.
Burning skin. And when I move, it feels like my skin is tearing. And so you don't want to move. There's that. And then because of my skin being open, there's, you know, I'm prone to infection.
Right.
And that's what happened recently, 2 months ago. I'm losing track of time here, but I started to get a pain in my back, my lower back, and right on my SI joint. And I couldn't figure it out because I had not hurt my back. Well, it continued to get worse. And one day I laid on the couch and I could not get up. I could not walk. And I said, this is not regular pain.
Right.
And I had to, you know, call 911 and they took me to the hospital. And I spent a week there with I think they called it some kind of myelitis, osteomyelitis, I believe. So infection in two of my joints. So
can you get any compensation for this? Or are you trying to fight it in the courts, or what are you doing?
Okay, so I did get disability for my skin condition through the VA. And so they do give me something to live on, and I'm very grateful for that. This hospital stay, they have covered everything. And so I'm grateful for that as well. So I don't have complaints there because they are helping me.
Okay.
And the VA hospital itself, I'm getting taken care of in other places. I believe that might be something that Trump put into place where you can get treated in other clinics other than just the VA. And I think he put that in motion somehow.
So how does this impact you mentally?
Wow. I have a really good support system. My family, you know, I live with my family right now for the past 5 years, and they just helped me a lot. And I'm not, you know, the doctors ask me sometimes, they say, Josh, are you suicidal? And I say, I would never do that. However, I do I do have days where I don't want to fight anymore.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I wish I didn't have to fight anymore. But I would never harm myself. And I have nieces and nephews. They stop by every day and, you know, they brighten my day. And I have parents that are just amazing. I have siblings that are also amazing. I'm close with all of them. And so I have a lot going for me on in that arena. I know a lot of veterans struggle with PTSD and things like that. And a lot of times lack of support system, but for me, that's intact and I'm very grateful.
So, all right, hold that thought. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what you believe.
Okay.
Okay, now hang on just a sec. What is it about dentistry that just connected for you? Because I mean, it's quite a jump from journalism to yeah. being a doctor.
I'm not the most social person in the world, like not like you. But I do like interaction with people, and it is fun people being people's doctors. And I feel like I am a caring person. So I like figuring stuff out. I can figure it out. I can diagnose a tooth almost better than anybody. I've had people come in, they've been to three other dentists. They can't figure out what's going on. And I like that. It's like being a detective.
And you've also really centered your practice on buying American with your crowns and that kind of, I mean, that's really important to you.
Yeah. If I could buy everything 100% American, I would. It's hard. Like I even told my reps, I've repeated my reps several times, like I don't want to buy stuff from China. I want to try to buy stuff in the United States. So my crowns are American. I even talked to the lab into making sure they buy all the products from America. Like we need.
All right. And joining us, Josh Red Hat. A guy from Montana that I met in a mall, an indiscreet mall. So Josh, after you know doing your service, and now you come home with this pretty debilitating condition. When you look at the country where we're at today, how does that feel for you know as a veteran? Also, to me, I think it's interesting as a Native American. I mean, you have a whole different kind of take on this. When you see where we're at today, what do you believe to be true?
What do I believe about the country, or what are my beliefs?
Why don't you start with what are your beliefs?
Okay. Well, my grandfathers on either side, my mother's side and my dad's side, were both ministers. And so I've been around Christianity my whole life, from my grandparents. My dad is also a minister. He was in charge of a missionary organization down in South Dakota for Native Americans and on the reservation there, the Rosebud and the Pine Ridge Reservation. So I was actually born on the Rosebud Reservation, even though I'm not a Sioux.
Okay.
But I was born there, spent maybe 15 years there before moving to Montana. But I grew up around Christianity. I also grew up around the reservation. And so I kind of got to see both our unique perspective, because
right.
that's not too common, you know? And so I didn't embrace Christianity until I was 18 years old. Growing up, I was pretty rebellious, you know, gave my parents a lot of headaches. And
no wonder we get along.
Yeah. But when I turned 18, I don't know if a lot of people were praying for me, or I just maybe saw my life ahead and said, you know what, I need to take this more serious. And I just decided to give my life to the Lord, you know, Jesus Christ. And I really haven't looked back since then. And that's where my beliefs are right there. And as far as where the country is going, that's a whole podcast in itself. Wow. But being when I was in the Marines, and most military guys would say this, we don't think about the politics of it while we're in there.
Right.
And once we get out, we can kind of look back and say, you know, did I agree with all of that or not? But while I was in, I honestly didn't pay close attention to all of it because it was about your mission. And but it is hard to look at that region over there and see, because I was in Iraq, and just the seat of civilization, you know, and so much has happened there over history. But to see it all disintegrating, and I don't know, it's a big topic.
Well, they're aligning with other people, and you guys, you were over there to keep things in check, and now it feels, does it feel like sometimes it, you know, gosh, we had everything kind of structured, and now you guys are messing that up?
Yeah, I do know that we did some good over there, and I take consolation in that. The people were grateful, and some good happened. I mean, there's malls over there in that country, Iraq. There's things that are there because we were there, you know? And it is frustrating to see where it's at, like not necessarily there, but north of there and in that whole area. But I do know that we did some good, and I try to take consolation in that. And one thing that I told myself back then, and I still believe this is true, those conflicts, they want to come over to our country. And I believe that we kind of kept it there, you know? And I guess that's kind of what I tell myself, is we kept the conflict over there, and so it didn't come over to our country.
And you hope to God that it doesn't come here.
Yes, yes.
So as a Native American in Montana, what are your concerns for what you see going on in your state?
Specifically,
just the changes that, I mean, I think a lot of people here are afraid of growth, and you see a lot of people coming in like me, new folks, and you guys are very welcoming. But I think there's some apprehension there, and for good reason, because I lived in Oregon where I saw a lot of Californians come in and turn my state into something that it wasn't. I lived my whole life there and it wasn't like that. And now you guys are, just because, you know, you got more cattle in Montana than you do people. But that's, I think those cattle are going to get a run for their money.
Well, yeah, back when the pandemic was on, I think I heard that 100,000 people moved here in 1 month.
Wow.
Yeah. And it basically filled up everything, all the apartments, just, it was crazy. And I still remember stumbling across your TikTok. I don't know how long ago that was. And you're talking about trying to move to Montana. And that's okay. You know, I believe that we, and I don't want to speak for everybody,
right,
but a lot of people have moved here. And you always hear about, oh, Californians are coming and they're messing it up, you know, but it's been such a common thing, and it's been happening for long enough to where I'm friends with these people now.
Right.
You know, I know some Mexican people in town, and I love them, you know, they come from California, and I'm glad they're here. And so when I stumbled across your TikTok, I'm just like, this is a good guy. You know, it's a good
Well, there's people that might debate you on that. What do you love about Montana? What is if you're sitting there to pick something out, what is it?
I like all the public land. I like that you can buy a piece of property next to public land and just go out your backyard and hunt. I like that you can find a place to hunt and not see anybody. And so the wildness. And that's part of what's going away, I guess, with everybody coming here. But I believe that's inevitable, you know. It's just inevitable that the state is going to fill up. But I love hiking when I'm able to, when my health is treating me better. I love to hike and get up there on the mountains, and I love to hunt and all that. So.
And Montana is pretty, don't you find it, I think what I find really attractive about this place, or it's like the last great place. It's like it's extreme. Everything here is extreme. It's either, you know what I mean? Which I think is good. What people here that live here should probably understand from, you know, an Oregonian or a former Oregonian is a lot of people aren't going to be able to handle it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up here from age 15 to mid 20s and I loved it, but I moved away to go to the military. I lived in Cincinnati. I lived in all these big cities. And I didn't realize how convenient they were.
Yeah.
So when I moved back to Missoula about, I think it was 10 years ago, I came back to the area. I think I was trying to get an eye appointment. And I couldn't get the eye appointment until like a week later. And I was angry, you know, I was like, this is not right. You know, the customer service here is, it's just not what's supposed to be, you know, and that's one of the adjustments I had to make coming back here is, sometimes the customer service is not at this level because the nearest competition is in Spokane. And, hey,
right. Yeah, my wife had to go to Missoula for retina surgery. And we're driving 2.5 hours to get to that. Then you have to stay over and then come back. And then you have to go back a week later for the other appointment. Yeah. It's just like, and we sit in the great waiting room and you talk to other people around you. And they were coming from, 4 hours away in Montana. And you're just going, but that's, you know, there's a country song I just heard. And it's talking about it's 30 minutes out the door to a Walmart or a grocery store. Yeah. You do have to travel to get going, you know, to get anywhere and do anything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we used to go three hours up to Kalispell just to go to Chick-fil-A, you know, and
it's what it is.
Yeah.
So let me dig a little deeper with this. What do you believe about God?
About God?
Yeah.
Wow. Creator of all things. I believe I believe in Jesus, Son of God. And
what do you ask him about your condition when you talk to him?
I've prayed many times for healing. And, you know, different times when I go to church, sometimes we pray together that God would just heal me so that I can get back into society and live a normal life, you know. But after many thousands of prayers, that healing hasn't just come. And there's something to be said about suffering. The Bible talks about suffering being valuable. And it says the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. And suffering together with Christ type of idea. Uh-huh. And, you know, when you first go through something really hard, it's why God, why me, why is this happening? What's the purpose in it all? But after enough years of asking that, you kind of quit asking that and you say, how can this struggle help other people?
Right.
And, I know that I'm a better man. I'm more compassionate. And, you know, also putting myself out there online a little bit. I'm doing that because I know that there are a lot of people out there who just suffer, you know, whether arthritis or similar problems to what I have. They just every day live with chronic pain and suffering. And they don't say anything because why talk about it? So for me kind of talking about it, I get so many people emailing me saying, hey, thank you for talking about that. I, you know what I'm going through. And well, so that's valuable to me.
Well, and don't you think, especially with social media, everybody tries to put on their best face.
Yeah.
And I've been writing stuff on my blog that's like really personal and kind of a little bit more vulnerable than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And the response, especially among 30 somethings and 20 somethings, and some kid on a live on TikTok, I think it was, said to me one day, I just go on there and let people ask me questions. And he said, what would your 63-year-old self tell your 20-year-old self?
Yeah.
And that changed, that just kind of rocked my world. And I went, you know what? I tell him, Rick, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
All these things are going to make it feel like you're never going to do anything, or you're not going to succeed, or you're not going to, but your definition of succeed and all those things starts changing. And I think, so it's valuable. I kind of feel like it's one of the reasons I kind of read a little bit of your stuff in there. I wanted you to come in here because I think it's healthy for us to just talk about the shit in life.
Yeah.
Not the politics shit, but just the stuff that's hard. So people can go, oh, it's not just me.
Yeah.
And some lady came on after I wrote something and I said, yeah, I was, you know, as a kid, I was really insecure. And I thought people were always hated me and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh my God, I never knew that about you. I thought you were like always secure and, you know, sure of yourself and all this stuff. So maybe it's time to use social media in more of a truthful fashion and not just your beautiful pictures from your vacation and in the tropics, but maybe talking about things that really bother. And then, you know, I always kind of feel like, Josh, we all have a story that we're writing. And like God is like the co-producer or maybe the head editor.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's the pen. What do you want to write, Rick? How do you want this to look? Mm-hmm. And I'll guide you. And if you make a mistake, you know, I may let you just fall, but I may guide you a little bit too. But it's like, this is your story. It's your adventure. And you can make it exciting or you could make it really, really boring. And I think too many people in our country have settled for safe. And I saw that during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was appalling to me how scared they made us and how safe we all, I just want to live. Well, to me, living is not running around in fear. That's death.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was quite the fiasco.
You know, just like everything, I mean, I'm a cancer survivor too, but I think once you get through stuff, everything is a good lesson. And it's like, you know, yeah, I lost a lot of friends over that and lost a lot of people. And I think everybody did, mm-hmm. but I think you also learn something about yourself. That's like, you know, how important is freedom to us, to each of us, you know? And I learned that F word is really important to me. Oh. And, you know, being able to make my own choices and do the things that I need to do is pretty dang important.
Yeah.
Is that kind of where with this rash and stuff like that, does that kind of help you? If God said, okay, Josh, I'm taking it away. You'd go, sure. Okay, good. It's gone.
Yeah, well, that's hard to think about because I've lived with it for so long.
So how many years has it been, really, you said?
Since 2006, it was.
Oh, my God.
That's when it started. But it really started to become a problem around 2012 to where it was hard to work because I was, you know, working in these hospitals with an open rash on my hands.
Yeah.
And I was trying to hide it. And you got to wash your hands, you know, 20, 30 times a day. And it just. It became unmanageable.
That has to exacerbate it because, you know, all that water drying out the rash and stuff.
Yes. And the pain was tremendous. I mean, like rashes don't usually hurt, but this just like it hurt really bad, you know?
So what is your hope then from here on out?
I hope that I can, of course, get completely better. But if I don't get completely better, I hope I can be manageable enough to and this is a dream and I don't know if I'll ever get to this, but
I'm all about dreaming.
I wish that I could own a big piece of land, like I said, next to some public land, maybe up there by Great Falls or Helena or something, and be able to invite veterans with PTSD, with various problems, come up, stay in these cabins, ride horses, and if I happen to get trained in counseling, help them, but just have a place where they can come be around other veterans, because that's important.
Yeah.
You know, only a veteran can understand another veteran. That's just the bottom line.
Well, it's a bond. Isn't it like a bond, really? I mean, I'm not a veteran, so I don't know. But everyone I talk to, it sounds like a brotherhood where it's not just a good friend. When you're on the line and you could get killed anytime, you're putting your life into the hands of people that they better watch. And then you are responsible for them, too.
Yeah, definitely. It's a shared experience, and it really bonds you together. So I feel a brotherhood with every veteran out there, even more so Marines,
And so how do people find you if watch this and they want to, is it just Josh Red Hat? Are you on Facebook, Instagram?
So I don't do much on Facebook. It's kind of more of something with family and, Instagram and YouTube and TikTok. You can find me, Josh Red Hat.
Okay.
And I'm usually the first one to pop up. I don't do much on YouTube yet, but if TikTok goes the way like they're saying.
It's sounding like we're all going to be off of that, and maybe that's for the better,
Yeah.
So Instagram, TikTok, and that's what I've started doing just because Facebook's so full of crap.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
It throttles everything I do.
Yep.
And so I've moved a ton of stuff over to Josh, you should start a website, they're really easy to do. And that's where I have tons of traffic on my website. That's where I put it. And just joshredhat.com, make it easy for people to find and tell them. Cause I think you have valuable information and a good perspective. Hard stories always do, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And if my dreams come true, man, that'd be awesome, and just network with all these amazing people I meet along the way. And I was just talking to the drummer for, he owns a coffee shop here in town, and he used to be the drummer for Fits in the Tantrums.
And
he recently retired from the band, but he still runs the coffee shop here in Missoula. And we run into him from time to time, me and my brother. And so we visit with him and talk music and coffee, and it's really cool. But he wants to help veterans, and we just love talking with him. And I believe that there's a lot of people out there, and I'm not necessarily talking about him, but people with money who would want to put it towards something valuable,
right.
And if I could ever get my act together, it would be cool to do something where that could actually make a difference in these veterans' lives, and so they don't feel hopeless and end their life and things like that.
So maybe we should change your language a little bit and say, when I get my act together, and a little more positive, when I start this, and it might not be the exact dream you have, but God will turn it into the dream that you want it to be.
Exactly.
But you have to, you know what I mean? And Josh, I like you, man. I think you're awesome.
Yep.
And thank, go ahead.
Oh, and no matter what I do, because of what I've been through, I'm going to be helping people. So
you already are.
Yeah. I mean, if the Lord called me into ministry, and that's the one thing I didn't share, is I actually got educated in ministry. And so I'm capable of doing that. So,
well, my thought on that is, I think you're already doing that. I don't know that we have to get educated about it. To me, I think for me personally, professional pastors have their place.
Yeah.
But I think I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day.
Yeah.
And you're a walking, talking sermon. So just go. I always get one of those things. People go, what do you think God wants my ministry to be? And I'm like, what I think God probably would say to you? Hey, Rick, just go live your damn life. Yeah. I gave you a life. Every breath you take is from me. Your heart wouldn't be beating if it wasn't for me. So I'm giving you this time. Now go do something with it. And you don't have to go start a ministry. Just go be who I made you to be and do what I tell you to do. And when I whisper, do it. But what's going to happen is I'm just going to, die. And then God's going to go, and I'm going to look back and go, that was it, huh? That's what I told you the whole time, Rick. Just do your thing. And you're already doing that, Josh.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm glad you tapped me on the shoulder and talked to me when we were in that mall.
Yep. And I hate to say it, but it was the hair. You know, I said, I know that haircut.
Everybody said, I know that hair is like a symbol.
Yeah. Well, mine is similar. I've been
shaving the sides.
I got that from Peaky Blinders.
but you got that darkness, you know, the dark hair. Yeah, mine's obviously not there anymore. But it is called Steel Blonde, just so you know.
Steel Blonde, okay.
Josh,
I got some patches here.
But yeah, you'll get there. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, keep in touch with me, okay?
Okay.
All right, see you later. All right, Josh Red Hat. So this is the thing, guys. Like what Josh did, he just walked up to me and started a conversation. That's how stuff happens. I think sometimes we get so locked in ourselves that we don't realize that if we would just, life is relationship, relationship, relationship. And if you don't stretch yourself and reach out to people, you're never going to find that thing that God wants you to do because you're going to be so stuck in yourself. Go try that. I had a friend write me today. And he has a whole bunch of health problems and issues, and I'm not going to get overly personal with it, but he hasn't worked in a long time. He got offered a job, and he says, you know, I just don't know if I'm going to take it. I said, take the damn job. Just go do it. You're going to be fine. And if you're not, you'll find out when you get in there, and then you can always go away. But God, don't take steps. We all have to kind of take that challenge and go do the scary thing, because the scary thing is always the best thing. I'm telling you. You know, when I had cancer, I didn't want to do it because it was a scary thing. Best thing that ever happened to me in my life. Because Rick Dancer kind of got to die. And this new version of me kind of arose. And through the pandemic, same thing. Parts of me had to die. And that's kind of how I used to say, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but I believe that walking with God is like Jesus assisted suicide. Like every day I wake up and I say, what do you want me to do today? And Jesus hands me a knife and says, let's cut out some of this crap that you don't need in your life anymore. And he gives me the opportunity that I can say, okay, I'm going to kill that thing. Or like most days, I just hand him back the knife and say, I'm not ready to do it today. But I want to be the guy that is willing to keep killing little pieces of myself that don't need to be here. So that when I'm gone, when I'm done, all that you see is the image of the sun. That's kind of the whole goal, I think. So anyway, well, thank you for joining us tonight. Again, we want to thank our sponsors, good old Greg Hinkle over at Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. We also have, I've got to find my cheat sheet because I can't remember everything. Obviously, Chris Dental Family Dentistry and BS Free MD. Another podcast, if you guys are looking for something, you got to check out May and Tim. They're really fun and they're just full of great information and a little bit of BS. All right, that's it for this edition of KEZI. That's a blast from the past. That's it for this edition of Get Real with Rick Dancer. Share this on your page so other people can enjoy the conversation too. We're just going to have more conversations. All right, we'll see you later.